for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape 2 of 2 tapes of the Saturday evening service of September the 3rd, 1988. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson, Marine Corps retired, is the speaker of this service.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
So we were having a little farewell luncheon for this man, and he said, when I get back to my home, people are going to ask me, what is it like to be in a high position in the federal government? And he said, my answer will be this. It's like a log floating down the Potomac River. And on this log, there are just tens of thousands of ants, and each ant thinks he's driving. And he laughed, and he said, I knew I was driving at least twice while I was here. Well, God has everything under control. Proverbs 16:9. Man plans his ways, but God directs his steps. From God's word, we know the fall or the end of the Babylonian and false religion are coming near. And their fall and their destruction may be occurring right now. Revelation 14:8. And the second messenger followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city. I tell you what city that is in Bible numerics and in buying and selling with a number. Because she made all nations drink of the wine of her fornications. Revelation 18:2. Another messenger, an angel, cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and it has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drank the wine of her wrath and her for fornications. And the rulers of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants' money of the earth have become rich through the power of her delicacies. I can just see this group meeting sometime between now and the year 2000, I think. And they'll finally say, well, gentlemen, we have absolute control. No one can buy or sell without our computer giving the approval. If they don't approve of you, you become a non-person. You don't exist. Same way it is in the Soviet Union today. You can't get a job. You can't buy anything. You're just locked out. We have our government all over the world. We have absolute control. And somebody will jump up and his eyes will be big and he said, did you hear that trumpet? Glory to God. The Lord says, thank you very much. I have a place for you where it's called the fiery pit. And you can stay there forever as far as I am concerned. Well, end of the formal tape, but I wanted to show you. Well, what can we do? And I hope that can be on the tape. What can we do? Well, one is to become informed. Pat Robertson's National Council, a Freedom Council, had 3 points. One was become informed or educated. Second is pray and then take action. There are a lot of people that do a lot of praying, totally ignorant of what's going on in the world. And a lot of people are taking action, they don't have the foggiest idea what they're doing. So you have to know who your enemy is, what he's up to, then pray about it, and then do whatever God tells you to do. Now that is the cue. I cannot tell you what to do, but you better learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Because those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. It's just that simple. It's nice to go to a prayer group or your pastor and say, would you pray for me and see what God will have me do? Forget it. He wants to talk to you. Amen. And it tears me up every time I think about it. My wife and I had determined, both of us graduated of the University of Texas at Austin, And we both determined that we were going to live between Austin and San Antonio at a place called Seguin or New Brunswick. But you know, once you come to know the Lord, that's not that important anymore. So we wanted to know where the Lord wanted us to live. And we looked for 3 years, traveled some 20,000 miles. Prophets were telling us. Robert Tom, South Africa, about this big, came walking and waddling over to me at a convention. I was in uniform, and he says, "Colonel Wilson, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you'll be moving." Well, he didn't know I was retiring. He said, "You'll be moving, and you'll be going to a place that's isolated, but it won't be remote. But it will be remote, but it won't be isolated." Thanks a whole lot. Then other prophecies and others, like Glenn was saying, it was confirmed, and we kept meticulous records of what the prophets had told us, as if we needed to, because when the Spirit witnesses to it, it's here. You don't forget it. Don't run off just because somebody lays hands on you and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Boy, one old lady preached a whole Bible school full of kids. "Thus saith the Lord, you got to go to preacher so-and-so's Bible school." Bunch of miserable kids. If somebody says that to you and the God's already revealed it to you, fine, that's a second witness. But people have prophesied over me and said, "What are you going to do about it?" And I said, "I'm going to wait till the Lord tells me or somebody else comes along and tells me." That upsets them, but that's mine. You know, it's easy to prophesy over somebody else to do something. I could tell you what to do, but I can't even run my own business. So, you must be led by the Holy Spirit. But I was starting to say, it tears me up today to how clearly God spoke to my wife and I. It still breaks me up that you can hear from God. When you get serious with God, He'll talk to you. He'll guide you. And I'll give you a little clue. After 3 years of looking, we ended up where we are now, and it's miraculous. We had a place all picked out. It fit everything. By the way, we looked all the way from the East Coast clear out to Colorado. And if you want to know some places that are surrounded by national forest, have abundant water, and have tillable land, come see me. I know where they are. I've seen them. And they're isolated, and they're not remote, and they're remote, but they're not isolated. I've seen all of those places. Some of them are here in Arkansas. We saw those too. Can you see a real estate agent when he said, "Well, this is what you wanted"? And I'd say, "Well, my spirit don't witness." Your spirit don't witness to it. Barry Winnie's commission over a spirit didn't witness to it. One night just before dark, we were driving home from a full gospel meeting over in Virginia that I'd spoken at a chapter, and my wife and I were driving along at Route 39, where it crossed State Route 39, where it crossed U.S. Route 220, and we pulled up to the stop sign there. And I looked at Ruth, and she put her hand on my leg, and she looked at me and said, "Speed, do you feel anything?" I said, "Yes, dear, we're home." Didn't even know where we were, but we were home. And that's where we've been ever since. And it's just been beautiful. Sold our home in Washington, no place to go, and a real estate agent went to Europe with my escrow money on a piece of property. That worked out all right. We ended up living in J.P. Morgan's mansion. It was rough living, 15 bedrooms, 11 fireplaces, 9.5 baths, lived there absolutely free for 5 years. Had a ballroom that was 45 feet long, 35 feet wide, ceiling 15 feet tall. Old J.P. didn't live bad. And we've been in some money deals. We've doubled our money every time we bought a piece of land. So now we know that we're going to sell the home we're in. We bought it for $82,000. We hope to sell it for $300,000. But we don't know where we're going. But we know now that when God tells us to go, like He did Abraham, Abraham went to a place he knew not. You know, the scripture says that God will direct your steps. Well, if He does, you ought to be taking a few. He isn't going to guide your steps. You're sitting on your buns. What I was going to say, I hope this is not on the tape. This is just straight talk. And I'll give you some advice. This is my experience, and it's just my experience, But Pat Robertson, a personal friend of mine, in fact, he and Dee Dee were near our home Monday, and they called and wanted to go out for dinner. And they'd do that about once every 3 months, except when he was campaigning. We've been friends for a long time. Pat said, it's so refreshing to come and talk to somebody that doesn't try to be spiritual with him. And boy, you can see, I'm not very spiritual. And we have a good time. He likes to talk about horses. I hate them, but I listen to him. So, I was born on a ranch, if you heard my testimony. But I know horses, and I can tell him a few things about it. You know, don't step on the green stuff. And you always get on the left side, you know, the basics. But he's a dear brother, and I've shared this with him before, and he agrees. You know, a lot of people want to sit around till God tells them exactly what they're going to do. And I got news for you. They're still sitting there. The Lord showed me, and that was one of the things that the Lord gave me very clearly, was that like Abraham, if you go, I'll show. But you have to go before he can show. Well, you might ask, why did we run all over the country looking around? Why didn't God just take us? We've driven by the place where we are. We've driven within 30 or 40 miles of it many times. Well, the Lord, my wife and I were praying about it. Lord, why did you run us all over the country for it? I said, well, I wanted to show you all the other places so that you're going to always question whether or not you heard from me. Now you've seen all the other places and you know you're in the right place. Plus the fact, if you want one, I can tell you where they are. So I was telling Pat that I no longer, and I haven't for years, I no longer just sit and pray and struggle through. I don't wait for a green light. I go till I get a red light. What's the red light? It's when the peace departs. As long as I'm at peace with what I'm doing, I continue doing. But when the peace departs, I stop but quick. That inner peace. Of course, you'll make some mistakes. God knows that. But practice. Learn. It won't come all that easy. Australia will be the first country to buy and sell with a number.
Right.
Yeah. The Rockefellers have already built 22 mansions in Canberra. They're furnishing them, and the Rockefellers are going to move their headquarters to there. They may also know that something's going to happen in the United States, and they don't want to be here. Could be. I want to just tell you a few things of the world events. By the way, these are back there too. I don't believe the liberal media. I got them stuck all over the back end of my car. When I went to pick up Pat the other day, he had it on the back of his Jeep. In fact, that's where I got it. You can write to CBN and they'll send you $100 for $10 or so forth. But I've given them to Glenn, and I'd like to give them away, but I find if you give them away, people take them and never put them on their bumper. So we're going to charge you 25 cents, so you be sure and put it on your bumper. And I don't get the money. I'm going to stay right here. Just like if you buy the book Valley of Decision for $2, which I quoted from, it's excellent. It's one of the best little books I've ever seen on that. It's just out, and I only have 20 of them. They're back there, so buy those. And I've given those to Glenn also. It's whatever you get, it stays here. This media, the news media, if they would tell you what's being said behind the scenes, listen to this. On the 2nd of November, 1987, before Gorbachev arrived in the United States on the 7th of December, another Pearl Harbor, you'll find out, to sign the Intermediate Nuclear Force Treaty with President Roosevelt, or another traitor, Reagan, Gorbachev addressed the Communist Party policymaking Central Committee, and this is what he ended saying. Listen to this. Now, this was a little more than a month before he came here. He said this. We are not retreating even one step from socialism, from Marxist-Leninism, from everything that has been gained. In 1917, we parted with the old world. We rejected it once and for all. We're moving toward a new world, the world of communism, and we shall never turn off that road. They said it destroys nuclear forces. It does not. Not one nuclear warhead will be destroyed because of the INF. The Soviet Union had a bunch of old obsolete SS-20 booster missiles that they were going to destroy in 2 years anyhow. And all of the SS-20 missile heads will fit their new SS-25. So they just destroyed a bunch of old boosters they were going to throw away anyway. And they completely got all of the... They got everything that NATO has out of NATO that's capable of hitting the Soviet Union. And they got zilch out that would hit because their SS-25 will move back into a little further back and it can still hit NATO in every one of the countries. I prophesy right now in the logic of things that I know that history will look back on Ronald Reagan as we now look back on Prime Minister Chamberlain of Peace in Our Times when he signed a treaty with Hitler prior to World War II. History will show that to be true. May of 1988, after the Central American Peace Agreement had been reached, Comrade Daniel Ortega, in a public speech, said, quote, "The Contras think we are willing to discuss if there is to be a revolution or a counter-revolution process here. That is not up for discussion. What we are discussing is how they, who are already defeated, must lay down their weapons. They should be grateful that we're not offering them the guillotine or the firing squad, which is what they deserve." How do you like that? Majority Speaker Jim Wright and the 72 congressmen that signed a letter asking Ortega to forgive them for ever sponsoring the freedom fighters in Central America. I'm working hard to get my congressman out, Jim Olin. That's another one. I've gotten active in politics, and I don't intend to quit. I didn't fight three wars defending the United States to give it over to a bunch of people like Kennedy, McGovern, and Metzenbaum, and some of the others. Did you know that the man that didn't chuck... Colonel North, we wanted him to run for the Senate this time in Virginia. He's eligible. But he said he would not until he was cleared and his name was cleared because Paul Tribble is stepping down to run for governor. We got a dear black man, Mr. Dawkins. What a great man. And we're running him against the traitor Chuck Robb, who's seeking to be the Senate. Did you know the man that's in head of the... He's the head of the Western Hemisphere Security Committee in the Congress, is a 30-year Communist Party member. A whole bunch more of them over there in the Senate, just like that, and in the Congress. What about South Africa? Oh, what about Oliver North? They were really after Reagan, and they never expected Oliver North to do what he did. He's a patriot, and he's way out. Yeah, there's a videotape of his slide presentation that Don McElvain and all. I have it with me. I have it upstairs. Good, great. But I think his opening statement, which they wouldn't let him make till 4 days later, is even better than that. Because he said, I resent deeply being caught in a conflict between the executive branch and the legislative branches. Who's going to run the foreign policy of this nation? And he says, you will investigate, and I tell you that you will find the executive branch made some mistakes, and we probably did. But he said, I'll tell you one thing, you'll never investigate yourselves. Why was he saying that? Well, I'll read you why. The movement to isolate, this is out of Don McElvaney's letter. Don spends a lot of time in South Africa. In fact, Don is convinced that South Africa will still be a free nation when we're not. He's even bought a home down there just to make sure he has a place to go to. All the South Africans are buying places in Australia. I don't know, but... To isolate South Africa economically and overthrow its pro-Western government, you know, our friend, began in earnest in 1981 when Boris Ponomarev, the chief political strategist of Moscow, issued a directive to the communist parties all over the world to launch a campaign to, quote, overthrow the South African government. This has nothing to do with apartheid. It's the same technique they've used in Cuba, that they used in Rhodesia, and they've used in many countries following. Same technique, same used in China, to overthrow the government. Apartheid is just an emotional issue. By the way, did you know that the black Africans in South Africa, their average pay is 10 times that of a black African in Zimbabwe or anywhere else? Did you know that the 20 million blacks in South Africa own more automobiles, more TV sets, more telephones than the 270 million Russians? When I said that at Princeton University, they said, well, you're just saying because they're doing better economically. Well, that's all right. I said, well, that's the excuse that your professors always give you when we say that the communists killed 100 million people, but they live better. And they sort of got them, because that's the argument that the educated idiots will give you. And I asked them the question, would you believe that the violation of civil rights, and there may be some, by the way, Ben Kinchlow spent 6 weeks in South Africa, and he came back and said the apartheid had ended. Everywhere he went, there were black people in the hotels all over the place. They can come and go as they want to, all that sort of thing. He only saw one for whites only beach, and that was a private beach, belonged to a club. You could probably find one of those in the United States. And the communists still kill millions upon millions of people. Isn't it interesting how the news media reports it? They said, thousands have been killed in South Africa. Get the terminology. Thousands have been killed. Yeah, 2,300. Just barely plural. Hundreds have died in Afghanistan. Yeah, 500,000, 500 million. But notice the terminology. They were killed in South Africa. They just died in Afghanistan. And there were hundreds in Afghanistan. It's like in the Soviet Union. They had a car race over there back in 1979. There were only two cars in the race, a Russian car and an American car. The American car won. And when the paper came out, it gave the results this way. The Soviet car came in second. The American car was next to last. Well, that's truth, isn't it? You see, it's the truth, but the wording is very important. Did you know they talk about Pat Robertson as the extreme right? But isn't it interesting? We don't even have an extreme left in the United States. When's the last time you ever heard anybody called a leftist? Never. They're liberals. The mentally ill. Well, so to overthrow the South African government. The economic sanctions were to be the chief external weapon which the internal revolution would be used in the Republic of South Africa. The Soviets hoped, now get this, they hoped that thousands of blacks would be thrown out of work, impoverished, then radicalized, and drawn into the revolution to be used as cannon fodder. Okay? Now, then, in 1981, a few months later, to achieve success, the Soviets needed to mobilize their friends and their allies in the West, particularly the United States media and Congress. And a few weeks later, October 81 to be exact, a meeting of the leadership of the Communist Party USA was met at the Riverside Church in New York to map out its strategy and assemble a national-wide movement. In attendance was Gus Hall, chairman, Communist Party USA, Angela Davis, she ran for vice president when Gus Hall was president for many years, Congressman Ron Dullums of California, Congressman Willard Wolpe of Michigan, and a fellow by the name of Reverend Jesse Jackson, and dozens of other congressional and communist political left leaders. Out of that meeting grew the Free South African Movement, spearheaded by the Soviet orchestrated and into the Trans-African Organization headed by Randall Robinson. Several years later, intense organization followed, and by the fall of 1984, spontaneous demonstrations occurred. Gary Hart, Amy Carter, and all the Kennedy clan all gathered outside the South African Reverend. The sanctions have not achieved the Soviets and Americans' political left goals to overthrow the South African government. Tens of thousands, yes, to date, 250,000 black Africans have been thrown out of work, have lost their jobs. However, South African companies have bought the facilities of the departing American companies for as cheap as 25 cents on the dollar. South African trade with Western Europe, Japan, Taiwan, and many other Pacific Basin countries are expanding, and the Soviet Union has increased its trade also. The reform process has slowed perceptibly since the United States has lost all of its leverage and influence in South Africa by backing out. So that's what that's all about. It's sick. We're still destroying our friends. Well, I'll stop. Any questions? Well, that's about it. It's interesting that when I left active duty, the Attorney General had a list of what did they call it? subversive organizations. That's a nice term for traitors or infiltrators. And Jesse Jackson is a member of three of those organizations. And he makes no bones about it. He meets with Castro and all of those people, Ortego and the Arafat and Qaddafi and all of those people. As it's been well said, and it's been said by a dear black man, Walter Williams, he said Jesse Jackson could have gotten nowhere if he hadn't been black. Because if you told the truth about him, everyone would accuse you of being racist. No, this is an equal opportunity nation, and he should be treated just like any other politician. I have no idea. Where does he get his... Oh, I have an idea, but I wouldn't say it unless I could prove it. He probably gets it from some tax-exempt foundation like Rockefeller's and Carnegie and Ford. And probably, and I say probably, I don't know. Probably, no doubt the same place McGovern got his. The mayor of Hanoi, you remember? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to build. The forces of evil are going to build very rapidly. But when evil shall abound, God's grace shall abound all the more. Like some teenager, when she read that, she came to me and says, it almost makes you want to root for the devil. Go, man, go, so that the Lord will go there, you know. Lord's always going to be out front. And I told her, well, I think he'll do all right without a cheering section. Yes, brother. Heinz Alfred Kissinger. And his name adds up to 666 three ways in English and also in Greek and also in the Napoleonic system. And he is the head of the world government. They have three public relations committee organizations that are busy trying to keep his name out of print. See, they work very hard at keeping their names out of the media. And all of that. But if you subscribe to the Daily News Digest or one of those, they'll tell you what they're doing. And I'll tell you the incidents that occurred. He was a new arrival. He was the director of the National Security Agency. And by the way, I don't have enough copies. I really shouldn't put this on the thing, but there's some back there that are free. But this shows you the structure of the Reagan administration, of his cabinet and all of that stuff. This is all the news media members over here, and this is the military over here. This is your senators. This is the labor unions. Isn't that interesting? Do you think the rank and file would be a little upset if they knew that all their heads of the AFL-CIO and all those are traitors or part of the whole conspiracy, the whole operation? As long as they last, you can pick them up for free. But I went over to the White House at one of these hired crowds, and I don't have time to tell you what that was. Well, briefly, it's just when they were having a controversial personage visiting Washington. They didn't want any trouble, so they would invite a given number of generals or colonels in proper attire, and we'd go dressed as civilians, and they'd go over, and most of us are housebroken, and we ask rather nicely, and although housebroken wasn't necessary to go to Lyndon Johnson, he wasn't housebroken. I saw him urinate in a pot of potted plant one night with a table full of people right there in the dining room, and used the F word rather liberally. And so we were going through a reception line. And here was Kissinger. He's about this tall. And he's standing there. And I didn't know anything about him. I grabbed his hand. And if you ever shook hands with somebody, it's like you grabbed a cold fish. And you sort of want to say, well, put it back in the water and maybe it'll live, you know. But something else happened. My gut just, just like when you get hit by anti-aircraft when you're 400 miles behind enemy lines. And he looked at me. Something happened to him, too. I stood there a minute, and then I dropped his hand and went on to the next. And I walked on over. I saw Senator Goldwater. He and I had met at other parties, and he's a pilot. He was a general in the Air Force Reserve, and we loved to fly, you know, and all that sort of thing. And so I went over and talked to him and said hi. He said hi to my wife. We were standing and talking. But you know, if you ever had, you know that when somebody's watching you? And so I'd casually turn around, and Heinz was still watching me. And as soon as the reception line finished, here he came waddling over. And he came over to me, and he says, who are you? And I said, I'm Colonel Wolf, the United States Marine Corps, sir. He looked at me, and he grunted and just walked off. So apparently something happened to him. Then I found out later why. the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of God clashed. And to confirm that, I was in Hammond, Indiana, about 2 weeks later, speaking at a full gospel businessman convention. I was fiddling around. I knew he fit everything else in the book, but I couldn't get the guy's name to add up. His biography and The Naked Capitalist even appeared on page 111. And I knew I could multiply that by six or add 550. But that's rinky-dink. I can make your name add up to 666. You're only solving for one unknown with one equation, and you can get that. They've done that with every pope that's ever been elected yet. As David Duplessis said, the Pentecostals have to find a new Antichrist if the pope ever begins to speak in tongues. But I wouldn't wait till that happens. But so at that meeting that night, I gave my testimony. And a lady and a lovely little girl came up. I would estimate her to be 12 years old. And I was in uniform. And she said, you in Washington? I said, yes, I am. She said, what's wrong with Mr. Kissinger? I said, well, what makes you think there's anything wrong with Mr. Kissinger? She said, every time I see him on TV, I want to vomit. I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? And she smiled and says, I speak in tongues. Hallelujah. And her mother said, yes, she does. I said, well, he has a different spirit. And she knew exactly what I was talking about. Many of you have witnessed in him. I'll tell you, very interesting. This was just back when Reagan first came to town, and they wanted to find out what was going on in Central America. And of course, he called on calling the fox in to watch the chickens. He called Kissinger in to find out what was going on down there. So, Peter Jennings, ABC News, that's the one I generally watch because it's the least biased. Peter Jennings says, you know, Mr. Kissinger's coming back in town, and he's such a dynamic personality that he really dominates the news, and he'll probably overshadow the president. But you have to remember that that's just the nature of the beast. As soon as the news was over, the phone rang, and my daughter said, did you see Peter Jennings? I said, yeah. He prophesied and didn't know it. Oh, hallelujah. Great. By the way, you know General Jerry Curry? He's running for the Congress from Virginia Beach, and he's going to make it, too. And that's one great thing that Pat did. He got a lot of Christians involved in offices, and they're being elected all over the country. If nothing else ever happens, I told Pat that Monday night, I said, Pat, if nothing else came out of it, you got a bunch of people in there that are in the process, political process, and they're in it to stay. Man, at Roanoke, at the convention, I got there, and it was like a full gospel businessman convention. Man, there was Freeman Meadows and all these old international director characters that I'd known for years, and they were all delegates to the convention. One of them got on the nominating committee is Jim Thyssen from Alexandria, suburb of D.C. He got on the nominating committee, and he found out he could nominate himself to go to the national convention, and he did, and he won. They're in it to stay, and isn't that great? Somebody said, all Christians shouldn't be in politics. Okay, then you've automatically said Satan's group's going to run the government. Somebody said that one day. I said, well, what's your opinion of a politician? Oh, they're a bunch of crooks. They're a bunch of greeds, all a bunch of heathens, and all of that. And then we talked for a while, and some problem came up, and I said, who do you think ought to solve that? And he said, oh, the government. And I said, you mean that bunch of crooks, that bunch of heathens, all those are supposed to solve your problem? I'll tell you a very interesting thing. Did you know that this year, 1988, is the first year for the last 15 years that the Communist Party has not had anyone running for the president or the vice president? Why? I can give you the document reference. Gus Hall said that we're going to support Jesse Jackson, and we're going to not duplicate our efforts. We're going to work in the Democrat Party from now on. So the Democrat Party has become the party of the communists and radical blacks. Not the blacks. I'm talking about radical blacks. Bless God, we got a lot of great Republican blacks and a lot of real patriotic blacks. I hate to use the word black. They're Americans, bless God. Jerry Curry, a black man, two-star general, was going to be a three-star, and he retired from the Army to run for office and help Pat Robertson try to get elected. I've heard him at many full gospel meetings. He said, you look at me and I'm black, and I have no bitterness in my heart against white people, He said, because every morning when I wake up in these United States, I thank God my grandfather was a slave. Because if he wasn't, I'd still be in the bush of Africa. Now, that's a different way of looking at it. You and I didn't mistreat the slaves. We didn't kill the Indians. So why don't we just all become Americans and forget about the color of the skin like God does? Praise God. The gentleman back here. Yes, John. I'm sorry? Babylon's New York. New York City. Computer will add up to 666, and New York will add up to 666 four different ways. The home of the United Nations. And did you know the identifying code? If you read the little book by Rolfe down in Montgomery, you know, is the book with the universal product codes on your forehead and all that garbage. Yeah, Rolfe. Rolfe, whatever. She's pointing out that 666 appears on your Sears rule book and your pennies and all that. If I had one, I could show you a teletype identification of all the clearinghouse banks. The international clearinghouse for all international and big operations is the Central Bank of New York, and its first three digits is zero, first four digits is 0666. So that's the reason that appears on Sears and some of the others. It's just to be cleared through the bank up there. In fact, it's interesting. One suburb of New York City is Babylon, New York. This is an investment letter that comes from up there. I wouldn't trust that one a whole lot. And okay, anymore, and then we really got to quit in a minute. I'll try to come back to you in a minute, brother, but you had one question.
What do you think the end result of all this will be? Will God have the last line? Will we become communists or what?
Very interesting question, Gene. The question was, what do I think? I know what the end result will be. This bunch will perish. But what happens between now and then, I really don't know. I do know this from a study of history, and you can see it in the biblical pattern of Israel. And Tolstoy and Toynbee, two well-recognized, world-renowned historians, said that major societies of nations have always followed a specific pattern, and it goes like this. From bondage or slavery came faith. From faith came strength. From strength came abundance. From abundance came dependence. From dependence comes fear. From fear comes slavery. Completes the cycle. We're definitely in the dependence that the government do it. And fear, we're even frightened of Ortega or anybody that says anything. Oh, we don't want another Vietnam. You darn right we don't want another Vietnam. Let's get down there and clean it up and get out. If I had time, I'd tell you why we weren't allowed to win in Vietnam. I have a tape on that entitled The Truth About Vietnam. I was on contingency planning. I know what the military plan was. But the traitors, Dean Rusk and McNamara, never would let us carry out the plan. Very simple. Wouldn't have gotten hardly anybody killed. Just close Haiphong Harbor. We did it when the Japanese had it. Then they have no supplies. The Indians used to do this all the time. Cut off their food and you don't fight a whole lot. You know? Very, very simple, but they wouldn't allow it. As Goldwater said just recently, the real problem in Vietnam is that we wouldn't let the military win. And that's what Oliver North said. And by the way, Gerald Ford said, our failure in his last State of the Union address, he said, our failure in Southeast Asia resides right here in the halls of Congress. Ollie North said, isn't it strange, in Vietnam, we won every battle and lost the war, but it was lost right here in Washington, D.C. And he's quoting good authority because General Giap, the head of the North Vietnamese forces, and their defense minister both said, within a week of each other, as reprinted in the Daily News Digest, you won't find it in the liberal media, said that we won the war in Southeast Asia, in Paris and Washington, D.C. That's where they won it. The reason we were not allowed to win in Korea or Vietnam is to create the illusion that we cannot win the wars of national liberation where the communists conquered countries, and so we won't intervene. You ask me what I think is going to happen, I'm sorry. I think Central America will go. Mexico may go before Central America does. And we'll probably have about 20 million refugees coming across the border. What are you going to do about it? Shoot them? No, we never have. Show you a real dichotomy. We have about 418 national, Immigration Service guarding 2,500 miles of border between the United States and Mexico. We have 40,000 American soldiers guarding the border between South Korea and North Korea. There's a matter of priority, isn't it? This is deliberate. Do you know they have about 1,100 airfields along the Texas and the United States border? They actually have photographs of North Korea and North Vietnam ships on the West Coast harbors delivering weapons that are being smuggled into Arizona and all up through the area. Congress has to be changed. I don't care who the president is. He can't do anything if the Congress is full of extreme leftists and communists. There are at least 24 congressmen that are clearly communists. I'm not talking about their voting record. We probably have 100 of them that are communists by their voting record. But people like Crockett and Dullums and the others have been and still are members of Communist Front organizations. Congressman from Florida has tried, and that's what North was talking about. You'll never investigate yourself. Congressman McClellan from Florida has introduced a motion that these communist people in the Senate and the Congress demands an investigation to see why they do what they do and to see if they're properly qualified to serve in our government. So I don't think McClellan will be reelected. That's what they usually do to those people, the whole bit. Yes, sir.
Did Kennedy pass a bill where he had a right to be in Washington?
I'm sorry? Who had a right to be in Washington? Oh, yeah, they did away with that. You can't keep a communist out of a defense plant just because he's a member of a communist party. You can't keep him from holding a job in a public school system just because he's a communist. And the same thing that applies to communists applies to homosexuals. You can't fire him just because he's queer. But a woman, did you know that that AIDS is the first disease that has a civil rights? Smallpox is still quarantinable. Scarlet fever is quarantinable. Syphilis, many of the others. None of those are fatal. By the way, Mr. Goldwater, I forgot to tell you. Even Cronkite and Brinkley, remember that team, after the election in 1964, said that 92% of the American people agreed with everything that Mr. Goldwater was saying. Polls would show that. But he was so grossly misrepresented in the media that they thought he was awful. And right after the election, I was in another one of these hired crowds, and this time I had came as military, and so I was in my evening dress, the big gold stripe and the cummerbund and all that. So you look like a stuffed toad. But and I went over and shook hands with him, and I was almost in tears. I said, "Senator, I'm so sorry you weren't elected." He said, "Oh, Colonel, don't worry about it." He said, "After I watched the evening news and read the Washington Post and listened to the radio, I almost voted for Johnson, too." And that's true. They were painting such a jerk that nobody would vote for him. Well, praise the Lord. Well, yes, ma'am, and then that's got to be the last. Or were you just waving goodbye?
I have a two-part question.
All right. Did you hear the question?
Yes.
I can't answer. Only God knows about his salvation. I know he gives a beautiful speech. Everybody knows that. He can read a script real well. But I do know Herb Ellingwood real well. So do you, dear brother. By the way, Herb resigned early when Pat died, and he came over and ran Pat Robertson's campaign. And he was in Reagan's cabinet. He was Reagan's legal counsel when he was governor. And Herb believes that Mr. Reagan has had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows he has witnessed to him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he would never say that he accepted or whatnot on that. He won't go that far. But Nancy Reagan is another problem, as we found out. And Ronnie is pretty much a puppet in her hands, really. And, of course, she was consorting with astrologists and all that sort of thing, and that all came out. Now, what does he know about the international conspiracy? Well, he made the statement to a lady who I met, and he assured them that if he was selected to run, he would absolutely not have Bush, that traitor, he said, as my vice president. But McKeever, McIlvaney, and Ron Paul all said, back in 1979 when this all started, they said that Bush was the choice of the conspirators to be the next president. But if he didn't do well in the primaries, whoever got the nomination would have to accept Bush as vice president. And all three of them said, we don't think whoever the president is will complete his term of office. And I think Mr. Reagan was kept alive by your prayers. Yeah, that's what the Iran-Contra thing. Very interesting, the Iran-Contra thing. Did you know that the law that forbid giving arms or selling arms to Iran was passed in 1976? Carter not only sold them weapons, he gave them weapons to try to get the hostages through. Well, if it was law then, and it didn't apply to Carter, why did it apply to Reagan? In 1863, there was a law passed by the Congress that told the president, they were taking hostages and all that over in the same area, told the president, directed him, to take whatever action was necessary, short of a declaration of war, to get hostages being held for ransom released. Well, that's still in effect. So there was no law violation. Another thing, isn't it interesting? They were looking for $2 million, they said, that was profited on these old TOW weapons. T-O-W, it's Tank Optical Weapon. It's a goofy thing. Glad we got rid of them. You can only fire it once, and then you better get the heck out of there, because it makes so much smoke, and it follows a wire, and you better kill the tank you're shooting at, because he knows right where you are, and he'll kill you. So it's a goofy weapon. Marines wouldn't have it. We'd rather have a Marine with a cigarette lighter than that thing. At least he can creep around and doesn't make a lot of noise. So they declared him surplus. And they sold them to an arms dealer. That goes on all the time. You can buy all sorts of government surplus stuff. So they sold it, but these were a later TOW. And Israel wanted the later TOWs. So after the Secretary of Defense said these are surplus, established the price, the arms dealer, I forget his name, some camel pusher out in the Middle East that had a lot of money, and so he put up the money, and they bought the TOWs, and they shipped those TOWs over to Israel, and Israel took those TOWs off and put the old TOWs on and shipped those over to Iran, and then Iran paid for the weapons. Well, there was some money profit. So what? The weapons didn't belong to the United States ever since the weapons dealer bought them. That's like you going, Colonel North, when they were asking him about it. He said, listen, do you mean to tell me that if I bought some acreage for $20,000 from the United States in a park, and they sell land all the time, and then I turned around and sold it for a big profit, do you mean the government gets that profit? And they never did answer his question. Well, the same thing is here. But they were looking for $2 million. Now, get this. In a way, the traitor that was questioned in him, Senator, in a way from Hawaii, in the last appropriations bill, put in $8 million to go to a Jewish school in France. And the Iran-Contra hearing cost you, the American taxpayer, around $16 to $20 million looking for $2 million, which wasn't the government's anyhow. Absolutely nonsense. And they wouldn't let Ollie North show his slide presentation because they said it was technically impossible. Well, they projected the Bolin Amendment on the wall the day before. But overnight, they lost that technology. Boy, I recorded every bit of that on tape, and I think it's great on the video. Henry Hyatt is my favorite congressman from Illinois. What a great man. Did you hear when they projected that up on the wall and they showed the Boland Amendment? The Boland Amendment was not violated. Any idiot ought to know that. It says this, and it was in an appropriations bill. It says, appropriated funds shall not be used in any way to support the freedom fighters, parentheses, Contras, in Central America. That's all it said. Well, the money they got from the Ayatollah, that wasn't appropriated funds. The money that General Singh Lobb and the others were getting from Free China and some little island off out in the Pacific gave $20 million. That wasn't your money. That wasn't appropriated funds. But so they projected that up on the wall, and here was the Boland Amendment with Ronald Reagan's signature right below it, giving you the idea that Ronald Reagan signed the Boland Amendment. Congressman Hyde from Illinois said, oh, wait just a minute. He said, we're accusing Colonel North of subterfuge and lying, but he says, that's a gross distortion. He said, this is the appropriations bill, and he picked it up. Weighs 19 pounds. Yeah, it weighed 19 pounds. Nobody ever read the thing. And he said, the Boland Amendment is on page 1287. And he says, that's a composite picture. You pulled the Boland Amendment out, and you put Ronald Reagan's signature right below it. And he says, that's subterfuge, and it's a lie, and I think it's a disservice to the American people to see it. You want to leave the impression that Mr. Reagan said, oh, my God, there's a Boland Amendment. I want to sign it. He said he didn't even know it was in there, and neither did I. But they never quoted him on the evening news, like one lady said. So she watched all the hearings, and then she watched Dan Blather, and she thought he was watching a different hearing. It wasn't the one she was watching. My son served a tour in the Marine Corps. I didn't want him to, but he did. I wanted him to go to a military academy, and after he finished boot camp at the top of his class, he wanted to too, but he was too old then to go to academy. So he owns his own restaurant now and doing real good, so I guess God works it out. But he's telling me, he said, Dad, he said, you know, that bunch of people will just destroy Lieutenant Colonel North. I said, well, they have that ability, because I've appeared before Senate hearings and Congress and other committees to testify for the Marine Corps Reserve. I was Deputy Director of the Marine Corps Reserve. And it's pretty intimidating, those people up there. You're down here. But I said, it won't work if Colonel North doesn't allow him to intimidate him. If he won't let those rascals intimidate him, he'll come out all right. And we learned right off, don't let them intimidate you. You know, like the Marine Corps program, if you don't know what to do, attack straight ahead. Bless God. Don't wait around and rapidly shift your weight from one foot to the other. Just move, man. And so the opening, when the Jewish lawyer, Mr. Lyman, who represented the committee, the Senate portion of the committee, is his time to question. And he says, Mr. North, Ali sat up in his chair, Consul. Lyman looked at him. He said, Consul, I'm a graduate of the United States Military Academy. I've been a lieutenant colonel in the United States Marine Corps for 6 years, and I am not a mister. Thank you very much. I said, glory to God, Scotty's got him. You know, a mister in the armed forces is a warrant officer. He's neither enlisted or commissioned. He's neither fish nor fowl, as we always said. Pays a little better, but not much. And so he had him from then on, and he didn't take him. And his lawyer, Mr. Sullivan, I thought he was classic. Man. When the consul said, this was about the fifth day, and he asked him a question that Ollie North had answered many times, and he said, Oliver North said, well, I don't remember specifically an answer. I've answered that question before, but maybe not phrased in that exact way, and I really don't remember how I should answer it this time. And Lyman said, well, why don't you check your notes and find out? Sullivan said, Consul, if he wants to check his notes, he'll check his notes. And if he doesn't want to check his notes, he won't check his notes. In a way, says, Consul, You address the chair. You don't talk to the consul. He said, all right, I'll talk to you then. If he wants to check his notes, he'll check his notes. If he doesn't want to check his notes, that's fine. And then away he said, well, answer his question. He said, you haven't ruled on my motion. Does he have to check his notes or doesn't he have to check his notes? He said, no, he doesn't have to check his notes. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Don't answer their question. And he said, and then Inouye said, well, if Colonel North wants to object, let him object. He said, no, that's my job. I'm not sitting here like a potted plant. Great. You know, treat them like they are. There's a freedom Foundation for Freedom International that will send you a copy of the Ollie North Tell It Like It Is for only $9, and you can't buy a blank tape for that. It's very, very good. And if you ask them, they'll probably send you a transcript of his opening statement, which is even better than the slide presentation. So great. Well, God bless you and keep you, and I'll see you in the morning. Or is it morning already? Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.